Back now to our occasional City Break series, and this week I'm joined again in studio by a colleague from RTE Newsroom, Karen Creed. Karen, you're going to give us the lowdown on the Austrian capital of Vienna as a place to visit, and shortly we'll be talking to Eugene Quinn, who's been living there for the past several years. He's a writer, DJ and cultural worker. So, Vienna.
Vienna, Sean. Yes, I mean, Vienna is one of those cities that I probably didn't have much interest in visiting apart from the history, thinking it would be quite a staid and low-key city. And boy, is it different, as I'm sure your guest a little later will probably talk more about the nightlife. But just as a location itself, if you can imagine a backdrop of alpine mountains, vineyards all around the city, and I struggled to find an eyesore. So you can just imagine the opulence and the grandeur of this city if you're struggling to find something that isn't beautiful. It probably lends itself because of the fact that it went through many eras of royalty rule, emperors ruling it. And while World War II didn't help much with a lot of the city destroyed, they did a magnificent job in restoring it, because when you do a tour of the city, you'll realise so many of the buildings that were reconstructed have been done so well that they've kept the character and the historic elements of Vienna. But just as a city, in terms of when we talk about previous guests there speaking about relaxing, this is a city break where you will feel refreshed. There's a lot of green space, which in many cities, especially capital cities, are few and far between. So I would recommend anyone, as soon as you get there, get a bike if it suits you to do such, and enjoy the 1,000 kilometres of bike rides, because this is a city that is so easy to navigate that even someone like myself, who is very bad at finding out where I started and where to get back to, it has a ring road system, so it's a very easy way to get about.
What, Karen, would be at the top of the to-do list for a tourist going there, say, for a 3-day break or weekend?
I mean, like any list, you'll see the top 10 if you Google that, and it will be straight away down to your choice, whether you're more cultural or you're interested in activities. Straight off, I'd heard about this artist Hundertwasser, and I had to go to his house. The Hundertwasser house is quite incredible, because this artist decided, I want to create harmony. People should live with harmony, so much so that he created a house that has trees, bushes and plants growing out of it. And it's kind of like almost out of an animated fairy tale when you see it. But what makes it even all more the intriguing is that you've people living in it. So you have these Viennese looking out your window. Can you imagine, you know, in Dublin city centre, having all these crowds flock with the tours to look at this incredible form of architecture that really, I suppose, was ahead of its time. And so that's the number two attraction. The biggest attraction really is all anything to do with royalty. There's a lot going on. Imperial Stables is one of the big ones, which is now the museum quarter. And even for people who aren't interested in exploring the contemporary art, which I would highly recommend in this area, there's a fantastic seating area. And at this time of year, right through till October, you'll have just incredible concerts going on, a lot of free events going on. And the restaurants and the cafes in this area are particularly enticing. And they lead to a lovely market called the Spittelberg, which is just a very cute, characteristic, charming part of the city with lots of crafts. And one thing as well, along your route, as you're, you know, basking in 26 degrees sunshine, or even higher, there is water to be found at all these fountains, fresh alpine spring water. So, you know, you're not looking to try and be fleeced like you are in Paris and other cities by 10 euro bottles of water being sold to you. You can have it free from the fountains. And it's just another little addition, you know, when you're walking around and you're feeling like getting a bit of a refreshment.
We were talking stereotypes with Tony Connolly earlier, Karen. I don't know if you heard him, but I'm just wondering about the question of whether a trip to Vienna couldn't be complete without some classical music. So what's on offer there to the visitor?
Oh, well, of course. And you know, you even if it is a case of just walking past people who are busking, the buskers there really do reflect that this is the world capital of music. Naturally, the opera will beckon. The prices won't, because they are a couple of hundred euros. So do as I did and queue a little bit in advance at the back of the opera to get the standing ticket. And I got mine for 10 euro. Now, the views will be obstructed in parts and, you know, and certain aspects, I suppose, of you won't have the best probably sound as you would in the seats that you've paid for a couple of hundred euro, but it's well worth it. Again, a lot of people come to study music and all sorts of, I suppose, arts in Vienna. So you'll find a lot of these performers will perform free concerts. So certainly on the tourist website, they always update when they're doing free events like this. So before you plan your trip, you could look at ways to, I suppose, enjoy music at a fraction of the cost if you were to pay direct to go to the state opera.
But even if you don't want to pay or to be indoors, there's lots of it to be enjoyed.
Lots. And I mean,
on the street. Street.
Yeah, a lot of them are trying to sell their CDs like anywhere here in Dublin, but it's just the standard. And I suppose this is a city full of famous composers. So you can just imagine some of the, you know, orchestras that are, you know, crowding these streets, and especially in the pedestrian areas. You know, do walk down the little side streets where cars are not allowed, because that's where you'll find the really good artists. And, you know, I don't know if people have a certain impression of Viennese. I thought they would be quite sedate and a slight bit boring, no offence to any of them. They are great fun. They just, you know, love their nightlife, and cafe culture is where a lot of these musicians will hang out and play as well. So do be aware, cafes are good for it.
We'll come back to that one in a few moments, but let's go now to get a little more local knowledge as well, because I'm joined on the line from Vienna by writer, DJ and cultural worker Eugene Quinn, born in London to Irish parents, previously a producer with the BBC. Good morning to you, Eugene.
Hello, it's actually good afternoon here, but yeah.
Okay, well, it'll be afternoon here in about 11 minutes as well. You've been in Vienna, I gather, for about 8 years. So how did you end up there?
Yeah, so I was a judge in a radio competition. I used to work for BBC, and my wife was representing ORF, the Austrian state broadcaster. And yeah, we just quite liked each other's opinions. That was in Berlin. And we had a long debate about whether Monica should move to London, or I should move to Vienna, and I lost, but I'm very pleased about that, because I actually like living here a lot more than she does. It's a great city if you're
from
somewhere else.
You can probably take the big decisions in life, like whether sanctions should be imposed on Putin. She'd take the small ones, like where you go on holidays. But to come back to Vienna, you recently raised the question in an article, is Vienna a cool city?
I wouldn't describe it as cool particularly. It's it has a very strong attachment to what's old rather than new. But it's also one of the highest quality of life cities in the world. There's this new science where people try to measure and compare cities. And it really is the small details that make it a great place to live. Lots of cycle routes. And the weather is fantastic. The people are also rather good looking, which is a big bonus. There's lots of Slav blood here. But people are prepared to pay tax, and they get, you know, you can see the consequences in everyday life. There's a lovely amount of trust here as well. People hang up their coats when they walk into the cafes and bars on a coat stand, and it'll still be there with all your mobile phone and everything when you leave. So that's a
big shock looking,
after London.
Are they better looking, Eugene, than the people in Paris or Rome?
They're different looking. There's a good mix here. I mean, those are also rather good looking cities, and they're not quite as fashionable, but yeah. Some Slav blood. I think you've had an injection of it in Ireland recently. You know, the people out of Poland, Russia, but also Serbia and Croatia have big populations here. It's part of the swirl of Central European history that people moved around quite a bit in the Habsburg time, and so plenty of them are here. But it's also sport and lifestyle. You know, the people are just naturally, it's very easy to go swimming here in the Danube, cycling, but also to head out to the mountains. There's lots of trekking and skiing, of course, in the wintertime.
And is the Danube clean enough to swim in at this time of year, yeah?
Oh, aye. Yeah. There's actually a section of it where they slow it down a bit. It's divided in four as it runs through the city, which is a bit strange. That's to avoid the flooding that used to happen. But there's a bit called the Old Danube, and that's got lots and lots of baths, which are really quite civilized places to get changed. And it's really not too chilly and not at all dirty. You know?
Eugene, who should not go to Vienna? Is it people who want to drink loads and make plenty of noise?
That's right. I wouldn't say, I mean, in common sense, it's a party city. I would say that it's a bit more kind of classy than some of the real party joints you get in Spain or in Greece. You know, it's just a slightly a cut above that. And but it's not very expensive to go out. You know, it's there's a set standard lunch menu in nearly all the restaurants here, which is €6.90 for two courses. And then you can have a glass of wine, also from Vienna, in most of the restaurants. You know, it's some really good white wine, particularly the Grüne Veltliner. And the people have a lovely connection with the land here. You know, there's different seasons throughout the year of food. You know, so there's asparagus time, and there's goose time in December, wild mushroom time. And there's also something called Sturmzeit, Sturm time, and that's fresh wine. So it's just been produced, and it's rather sweet and heady stuff, and people drink it in pints. It's quite a shock, but beautiful stuff.
Wow. Well, I was going to say, if you got the Temple Bar crowd out there, you could have quite an amount of noise and racket
messy,
and so
yeah.
Forth. Let's assume that won't happen. Architecture there, Eugene, is something that you've been particularly impressed by.
Yeah, so there's a good mix of old and new. I mean, Central Vienna is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, so they're basically not allowed to do anything new in there. But even out in the countryside, you get beautifully designed schools and supermarkets. You know, there's some the planning regulation is different, so that they're quite a. I mean, you've still to pass planning laws, but they are quite adventurous with mixing up new and old. And the museum's quarter, which Karen mentioned earlier on, is a great mix of old and new. There's some really upfront contemporary architecture there, but also it is the imperial stables.
Yeah, I'll come back to Karen in a few moments. One of the things I gather, and it looks very interesting that you organise, are Vienna Coffee House Conversations. What's that? Or what are they?
That's right. So this is a city which is not I would say it doesn't jump up and embrace you when you first arrive. You've got to work a little bit at it. And so we guarantee that you have a meeting with the local. You actually sit down for some interesting local food and coffee. And it's in one of the lovely coffee houses, which are were always a great fulcrum of new ideas in the time of Freud and Schiele and Klimt. Lots of people would meet, and which cafe you went to said a lot about you. It was a kind of networking thing. So every month we sit down, people from around the world, with people from Vienna, and the Viennese come along because they'd like to practice their English with native speakers, but also just to bring some fresh air into the city. It's quite a long way from any other big cities, so you don't quite have the same kind of flow of people you might get elsewhere. So we say that in one evening you can kind of travel around the world as a local and represent the city as well.
Who pays when you go to one of these Vienna coffee house conversations? Does everyone pay for him or herself?
They do. But everybody gets, at the end, a free bag of beautiful Viennese coffee. The coffee here is great, and you get a bag of Julius Meinl coffee, which is covers the price of entry. It's so effectively we're kind of paying you to come along, because the coffee it costs even more than the attendance price. And then what you order for dinner is up to you. So you can just have a glass of wine or coffee, but most people do dive into some interesting local food. It's not kind of stylish food, I would say, in Vienna so much as kind of earthy peasant food. You get a lot of pig, a lot of potatoes, cream. It's more kind of wintertime food, but it's it feels good in your tummy. You know, it's comfort food in many ways.
Karen, you seem to be nodding there.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement. I'm surprised he hasn't mentioned the word schnitzel yet, because I was probably the typical tourist, now you'll tell me, Eugene, looking for my Vienna schnitzel. But, you know, it's a tasty bit of pork, and some people will say, oh, I've tried it before, won't have it. But I tried it in a few places in Vienna, and I have to say they treat it like an art there, with the precision of frying it in, I think, three different pans. And definitely, as you mentioned about the wine, being complimented by the wine, Austrian wine is incredible, and I would recommend anyone, if you've more than 2 days, to go out to the vineyards. They're just incredible, hectares and hectares, stretching from Vienna woods right up to the shores of the Danube. And the great thing is that a lot of the premises are allowed to hold wine taverns on their site, so you could be sitting in the evening time, having done a tour, sit back with a glass of Riesling or one of the great Austrian wines, and just enjoying a view of the city below. It's an incredible way to end, I suppose, a trip to the city.
And Karen, would you agree with Eugene that the food there is fairly simple and basic and well priced?
Yeah, very well priced. Simple, yes, but I mean, you know, it's not to say that you can't go out for an extravagant meal either, but for the most part, right across from the hot dog stands, and as you say, you know, a lot of the hearty cuisine there is definitely more evident than perhaps the light salads. And not forgetting a Sachertort, which is a chocolate cake recipe, is still a secret apparently, as I was told by most Viennese, but definitely one to try while you're there.
Did you find the people maybe a little bit standoffish and good looking?
You know what, I was more concentrating on the great wines than the people, but I have to say that the people didn't come across to me as standoffish at all. But I think for me, I was actually happy that they weren't perhaps too approachable, because sometimes going to a city and just being allowed to do your own thing, and I did live in Paris, so perhaps I'm very used to a certain type of service in it, because the Parisians are known for that. But I didn't find them in any way rude. I think just sometimes you have to sit down and order quick. Perhaps they don't like people messing about and taking their time, as tourists can be lulling a lot, as is known in many cities.
Eugene, as somebody who has been there, as we say, for 8 years now, living with your wife, do you have any little secrets that you want to share, things that maybe took you 4 or 5 years to discover or stumble across, and that you say, okay, look, somebody coming, it'd be great if they knew about this?
I'd head out of the city centre. It's absolutely packed with tourists, and it's always more interesting to engage with the locals and see ordinary life. I live above a street market, the Carmelita Market, and that is the Jewish neighbourhood. So obviously there's a legacy of people like Freud and Mahler, you know, the great soundtrack of the city. So if you come up here to the second district, which is just an easy stroll across the Danube canal, So about 10 minutes from the city centre, and you actually see the locals living their life, and you know, playing and interesting music.
And Sean, it's just worth saying as well, if you were travelling with children, there is a lot to do there, as Eugene will probably agree. The Ferris Wheel in Prater Park being one, the pandas in the zoo, and the tropical butterfly exhibition. There is a lot going on there. So if you can afford the flights to take the family, then definitely.
Okay, we will leave it there. Thank you both for joining us. That's Karen Creed, a colleague from the RTE newsroom in our foreign news service, and also Eugene Quinn, writer, DJ and cultural worker on the line from Vienna. That's our lot for today.